Well, good morning, and also greet all of you in the name of Jesus, the Lord of the church. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll start with verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll stop there for just right now. The title of the sermon this morning is God's Call to Separate. God's Call to Separate. I've thought about this message some recently, about these verses in particular, about this idea, this teaching, the doctrine of separation. And as I think about the world that we're in, the emphasis of our world is to sort of bring it all together. It's a big pot of soup where Jesus Christ gets thrown into as part of the blend. Maybe that's a very poor way to describe it, but it seems to me like the world that we're living in has very little focus of separating themselves unto God, of becoming more than what they were before Christ, in becoming a changed person, in separating themselves. And, you know, in some ways, this teaching has a very negative feeling to it. And I'm not sure why it is that way. Because almost many, many times, there is a drive within us to separate and be part of. Let's just talk about business for a moment. You know, anymore, a lot of us wear a uniform, those kinds of things. It's to sort of step out of our everyday clothes, if you will, and step into something that represents a body, an effort, a work. So that's one of the reasons why uniform dress is used at work to send that kind of a message to our customers, but also to the employees. And some of it's abstract. It's not very it's not something we really think about, but it's what happens when we take those kinds of steps. But many times this idea of separation tends to be a negative thought. And I would like to suggest this morning, and as I studied it many years ago and taught the subject, and I went back and reviewed some of that, is that I would like to suggest that it's a very evangelical thought. It's a very evangelistic teaching. It is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to us and telling us that we're to become separate. And in that separation, there is actually very positive things that happen. There are blessings to be received. And so this morning, this message is, I want to lift up that truth while at the same time recognizing that separation will always cut. It'll always have something that stings with it. It always will. But it's not just negative. It's not just what I have to give up. It's what we also receive in becoming part of, in growing up in Christ. So I want to remind us all of that. And also, just this message is a reminder to me this morning. We live in a world that really does want to blur the lines between righteousness and unrighteousness, between godliness and ungodliness. That line is intentionally being blurred. And there's many reasons for that. One, there is the spirit of Antichrist that's in this world. It already is. That spirit most certainly wants to blur it. Secondly, there are people who would like to walk in both worlds. I said there are people. All of us, if we look closely, keep finding that same thing cropping up in us. We really do. We sort of want to just blur that line. And so by nature, that line becomes blurred. And I don't know that there's much else to do but to remind ourselves again and again that God is lifting up a standard. We see it in the Old Testament. We've been studying in the Old Testament, and I know we get just a little bit dizzied by the lives of the kings and their rise up and their fall down and the failures of Israel and Judah. And then we realize that God, one of the things that God is teaching us is that he really does want a separated, called out people to represent who he is. And that has not changed. And in fact, it became even more intense in bringing Christ to the world to bring salvation and to bring relationship and to bring restoration for the purpose of a separated people. So we're in this world. We are. We talked about this morning with our wealth. Thank you, Brother Tony, for wrestling with that question, that lesson. Jesus, well, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, those familiar verses, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There it is. Verses that are describing to us the situation that we're in. We're in this world. And we live in a world where the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's what controls it. That's what makes it tick. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't just want a boat. I want one that's bigger than my neighbor's or whatever it is. I don't just want a business. I want to be the biggest business person in our church. Just saying. Those are the kind of things that so very much captivate the minds of our world, and they come in to us as well, very close to us. So we are in a difficult situation today. I recognize that. We're in a world where the pride of life is king. Our culture says, chase what you want, pursue your dreams, and you'll have them. And I know that there is probably more, for many, there does seem to be a feeling that that's impossible, and that's one of the reasons why there's as many tensions as there are in our society right now. But having said that, that is still the predominant thought. Pursue what you want. Be who you want to be. Get all that you can get for yourself. That still seems to be the predominant thought. We live in that world. We live in that situation. It puts us in a difficult spot. And we have every ability through the web to cultivate every lust. Now, that word lust isn't all just... that word lust has the idea of a longing. So every longing that we would like to cultivate, we can so easily cultivate it through the Google searches and through, well, you know, and so we pursue that thinking. We sort out the best of the best, and this is why you do it this way, and this is how you do it, and then we go do it, and we're successful. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, in Matthew 6, chapter 6, Jesus says these words, again familiar words, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve God and still hold dear what this world loves. And again, that brings us right front and center of the Sunday school lesson this morning. There is what the world really loves, by and large, is money and power. Those two are often synonymous, but That's what gets you what you want in this world. So, I believe that this teaching of separation is very vital, very necessary, and it's so needed in our society. See, there are so many Christians that I believe have fallen snare to being consumed with this world. And so, you bet, it's the sports, it's the cars, it's, you know, let's go and have a party. It's the pleasure seeking. And it's the lives that are not, well, James asks the question. He says this, can out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing? I'll never forget, one time I walked up to a group of men and one of my employees was in that circle, and he told me later, he said, you know, just as you walked up there, one of those men said, hey, what's your language? He's a preacher. And I've always resisted that kind of thinking. You understand why I would resist that, wouldn't you? What does it have to do with me? It never was about me. It's about God. It's about who you're going to give account to. And so this idea that somehow we can, you know, speak one way, one place, but, and the other idea was you don't speak like that in front of women. Well, that seems like a noble thought, except that it never really is about the women anyway, is it? It's about God, and it's about our commitment. Are we disciples of Christ or are we not? And so James raises that question. Therefore, come out from among them is the supreme call of Scripture. That is what God said to Abraham when he called Abraham out of Haran and said, go, I want to make of you a people that are going to show who I am. It's the price that Moses had to pay to inherit the greater riches. He had to separate himself. And so for many of us, again, I'll just say it, we react to this call to separate. We don't really want to hear it. We don't want to really wrestle with what is it that God is asking me to cut off. And you know what's interesting? Time and again, ungodly men and women who somehow God intersects them, calls them to truth. One of the things that those men and women will almost always recognize without having cultural and traditional backgrounds to teach it is that they need to start separating some things. They're going to need to start thinking about modesty. They're going to need to start thinking about their jewelry and those kinds of things. It's pride of life, you know? They understand it. And it's so interesting to see that. And I think as a people, we should be looking for those places and blessing people when we see that, when we see God working in their lives. But to separate. This morning, I'll say it again. I just want us to step back and see what we gain. Separation is a beautiful thing. It's a restful thing. It's a blessed place to be. It's a place where we're free from it. We're free from the drive of the fashions, of the big business ideas, of needing to be the most powerful in our community, of not quite measuring up to the neighboring business down the road, to not having the nicest house on the block, to all of those things. We're able to become free from them because we have lifted our eyes up above them. And that is the beauty of separation. It is actually an outworking of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our lives. And so that is the good news of separation. It is God calling us to go into partnership with Him now so that we could be in partnership with Him forever. So continuing on here, in sort of a long introduction. It won't be a long message this morning. I'll commit to that. It's a warm Sunday morning. But Matthew 7, I'll just refer to it. Matthew 7, is Jesus teaching us and stressing the necessary fruits that is expected from the life of a believer. And those fruits happen. They are in conjunction with. They are, let's see if we can come up with some better words. They are tied to separation. You can't just add on. You're cutting off things and bringing others in. That's the life that Jesus is talking about. That's the good fruits that's growing off the tree, off of a good tree. Ephesians tells us, the Ephesians chapter 2, those beautiful verses, for God who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And we like those verses. We claim those verses. But those verses go on to tell us about separation, because we are called unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then we go on with those phrases I already mentioned. But Ephesians 2 also makes it very clear that separation, that fruits, that a changed life is part of the story. It's part of that salvation. So we see that. Again, James brings out, be ye not only hearers, but doers of the word. That is a separated people are those who are doing. That is part of separation. We are actually doing. We're replacing and not deceiving your own selves. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. All of those terms are defining separation. It's a group, it's an entity, it's a body, it's able to be seen, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so again, I believe that in separation from this world, we are able to show forth the praises of God. That is actually necessary. For us to show forth the praises of God, I'm going to need to think about separating myself from this world. There it is. And then, of course, there's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Familiar verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, those verses, they describe separation. They describe transformation that makes us a new person. They describe deliberate choices as well that show that we've been called out of darkness. And so again, separation, there it is. Just as God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to reveal himself to mankind, he is also using the transformed person to reveal himself and accomplish his will to a lost, ungodly society. And so this morning, again, I say, I believe that we need to be very aware that there is a world of people who say, yes, I know Christ, but they're living in fornication. They're living in adultery. They're living in sin. They're living in excesses. And I say that not to just... But the reason I bring that up is because those very things can begin to dilute our own thinking. They can begin to confuse our thinking. And God is calling us higher than that. God is actually saying, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you. That's the next verse. We'll close with that. So, you know, I think we really do struggle with this thinking that we live in a Christian nation, which I reject, but that thinking that is around us begins to wear in on us, and we begin to wonder, well, do we really need? Is God really calling us higher? He absolutely is. And finally, we will notice in Revelation that he does call us into account for our works. those works are recognized. Fruits are looked at. And how are we to understand all of that? Well, we just understand that God is calling us out to be a separate people. So Scripture is calling us to separate, and it's very possible for us to carry this to extremes. We have not, right over there besides our workplace, there's a road called Monastery Road. Why is it called Monastery Road? Well, there's a monastery on it. And there are, I believe, only men who live there in that monastery, who have separated themselves to the work of God. And so that is one side. Obviously, this morning, we don't believe that, and we haven't really seen that as a pattern for us, and I don't suggest that it is. But what I'm telling you is, you could go to Effort of Cloister, where they did lots of good things there, but the sisters and brothers who lived there, they laid their heads on wooden pillows, laid on wooden beds with no cushioning to separate themselves. And so, of course, there is many ways in which this idea can be developed. The point is, separation isn't just for separation's sake, but it's for a purpose and it's for a cause. That's the most important thing. We've been given the opportunity this morning to be called children of God. We've been given the opportunity to be called children of God, sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, sons of God and daughters of God, heirs with Christ. And it's not just to populate heaven. It's not just to flood the circle up there, but it is to bring and to accomplish the will of God on earth. And I think, again, I'll just go back to the Old Testament. God called Abraham out. Come out. I want you to show people that there is an ultimate supreme being in earth. You worship only me. And that's why the exclusivity of worship was so important to God. It seems like there was a lot of things that went wrong in Israel and Judah. But when they began to worship other gods, it was over. And so, again, we're here to accomplish God's will on earth. So if you're still here at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to just take a couple points from here, and then we'll close the service. Wherefore, I read the verse in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. I just want to look at that phrase, come out. It's obvious. The intention of the writer was to describe us coming out. And I could just use an example of a baby in the womb. That baby is tied with its mother, its nourishment's with its mother, and then there's an amazing thing that happens, and it's called childbirth. And that little one becomes a separate entity from its mother. It's no longer connected, and it's an amazing thing. And we too are... we've been raised here in this world. We've been nurtured in this world. Regardless of our home and heritage, we have this natural nature of that God's given, that we've inherited. And there it is. And God's saying, come out. There's movement. There's actually changes. There's choices. There's distinctions, is what Jesus is saying. It's not good enough just to say, well, I believe. And there's this world is becoming, I believe, fuller and fuller of people who say, well, yeah, I know Jesus. And then you just don't see it in their life at all. And then what are you to do with that? And it can become confusing to us, but it doesn't need to be. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And so we are called to come out and be separate. There's actual changes. And come out from among them. Again, it's the world. It's this society. It's the system of this world. What concord hath Christ with Belial? the unequal yoke is referenced in verse 14. So this them that he's referring to is ungodly people. It's people who do not believe. It's people who don't obey. It's people who don't live according to God's will. And God says, you come out from them. That's who we're called to come out from. And so, yes, we are. It's just as simple as it always was. We'll use the same old language we always did. We need to come out from the world. We need to come out from the world. And that was what Jesus prayed about in Matthew chapter 18. He said, look, he said, God, I know that these people are going to remain in this world. I'm just asking you to keep them from the evil that's in this world. I'm asking your grace to be shown into their lives that they can be in this world and not a part of this world. It still is the call. It's the same basic call that all of us need to wrestle with. Are we willing to separate ourselves? Yes. Are we willing to lay down the ungodly music? Are we willing to just recognize that this world just keeps pushing in? It just keeps reaching in. It wants to influence us. It wants to water us down. It wants to cause us to become lukewarm. That's what this world's about. And I feel that pressure. I don't know if anybody else does, but I feel that pressure. And so there it is. The next phrase is, and be ye separate. And that word separate means to set off by boundary, to exclude, to point, divide, separate, sever, draw a line, to say no, all of that. And that's why we don't always like this word very good, because it's pretty easy for none of us like to hold our own selves in too high account. Now, others, different story, but we tend to pull back in holding our own selves to too high account, in drawing too defined of a line for ourselves, lest we would wish to cross it. And so, yes, separation does cut across the flesh that way. How else? Separate ourselves from, well, this society doesn't know a lot about meekness anymore, does it? And God is still calling us to be a meek people. We are going to accept being cut off. We're going to accept someone just encroaching in our territory, whatever that is. And we are going to recognize that if we're a people of resource, we're going to recognize that God has blessed and we're going to have that spirit of meekness. I think that's so important. And also just the way we present ourselves in society. Our society has put up a lot of walls. They're pretty hard. Can they see the light of Christ in us? Be separate. We're going to separate ourselves and be. What are we separating ourselves from? The materialism, the love of money. 1 Timothy tells us, is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We need to let that go and allow God to bless as he chooses to do so. Let's be very careful that we are not getting, look, business can just captivate you. Men love to build. And we love to, and when I say build, I'm not just talking about a building. I'm talking about anything, whether it be designing those engines that could throw the arrows in the rock. I would love to have seen them, wouldn't you? Men love to build. We like to engineer. We like to think forward. And that's who we are. And that can suck us in. It's not a bad thing. It can just captivate us. We should be those men that God, the way God has designed us to be, but be ye separate. You ladies face your challenges. We need to be separate from the excesses of this culture. There are plenty. Wherever there is extra, the excesses abound. If we were all in a situation where, we wouldn't even have this building. We wouldn't have the fans that are blowing on us right now. We wouldn't have the lighting. We wouldn't have. We would not be wrestling with as many excesses. Even where there's no money, there still are excesses. because that's the way man's heart is. He's going to find something to find his escape in. And so what am I saying? The Christian society that we are in is filled up with a good many excesses. We need to recognize that and be willing to pull back from it. We need to recognize that is it rubbing off on us? And God's still telling us you cannot serve God and mammon, the pursuit of this world. Well, of course, we talked about business. We talked about there's dress. There's vehicles. Certainly there's dress. Of course there is. We recognize that. Our society is consumed with it. And so, of course, there's separation that happens. Of course there is. Let's not be afraid to recognize that and just accept making choices and changes in our lives. So this kind of separation that we're talking about goes through every, if you want to think about it as an antivirus sweep, it goes through every foul in your life. Goes through the businesses, goes through the hobbies, goes through the home, goes through the music, goes through the dress, goes through the vehicles. It absolutely does. It does. Whatever our society is making a big deal out of, that's where separation is tested. And so we're under test on a lot of fronts in society. There's no doubt about it. And finally, well, the next phrase that I want to notice is touch not the unclean thing. I believe that the writer here is inspired to warn us about the lust of the flesh that Jesus spoke of, or John spoke of, the lust of the flesh. The impure things, the lewd things, the unclean things. And so our society has become saturated with homosexuality and the most current trend, I don't have it wrote down, but the cross-dressing and this whole idea that you can choose your gender and those kinds of things to say it one way, are an excess of this society, are a great sin of this society. Those are just the kinds of impure thing that we're being called to be free from. That every one of you, 1 Thessalonians 4:4 tells us, should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. That we can handle this body in sanctification and honor. And so, yes, that's a challenge that intersects every man and every woman in some way or another. And God help us. We need to find our ways through those things. I speak after the manner of men, Romans says, 6:19, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. That's a verse that doesn't have separation in it, but it sure has separation in it. It doesn't have the word separate in it, but certainly it does. It's a dividing. It's laying down one and choosing the other and serving God by that. And so, yes, again, God has placed within man. We're thinking about the impure, the unclean thing, the impure thing. God has placed within man a desire in mankind, men and women, a desire for relationship and sexual relationship. But those relationships are only clean in marriage. The Bible makes it clear. And again, our world that we're living in has blurred that line intensely. Even our Christian society, those who name the name of Christ, have chosen to live with a partner for years without marriage. And the Bible has explicitly made that clear, that that is sin. And so, again, we're called to separate ourselves from that. That can't be part of us. Married or unmarried, our moral purity must be above reproach. Clear. We need to ring as clear as a bell in these areas. And there's never been a time to have more ways in which moral impurity can impact us than our day. In our society, in our technology, and it can just come at us in so many ways. And so God help us to be free. God help us to keep ourselves free and I believe that that our society will be able to detect that. The ungodly person, the immoral man, can detect immorality in another person. And so can the spiritual man, can see the bondage in the life. And so young people, old people, all of us, let's benefit from accountability and let's be open. We need that kind of help. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. One more thing yet here in the unclean thing, and that is the demonic, the occultic. Our world is really getting into it. It's always been here. But there is an embrace of darkness in our culture. Like I just saw here a week ago or so here on the highway right here on 99, car come by me, and on his trunk lid was a sticker, and it was the upside down fish with the legs. And I thought it probably said Darwin, but it didn't. It said Wiccan. It's just a branch of the occult. Hadn't seen anything like that in a while here. But absolutely, it can be pursued, and we're called to be free from it, to lay that down, to turn away from it, to rebuke it, to not be part of it. There's a reason why people are pulled into it, because one of the reasons is because there's actual power there. There are spiritual powers, and it can be reached. But we choose not to. We understand why we wouldn't go there. It is the power of darkness. And finally, and I'll close with this, if you still have your Bibles open here, the last phrase is, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's a beautiful verse. I really can't comprehend. I have a hard time taking that verse in. That the Lord God Almighty is making us sons and daughters of His own. But that is the beauty of separation. That is the beauty of allowing Him to call us out and to allowing Him to touch our lives in places that we don't really even want to be touched. And by doing so, we become the sons and daughters of God. It's a promise of God. God mercifully supplies us the tolls. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even then to them that believe on his name. Power, right, privilege, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not easy. Separation never is. It always requires some choice of our own. Paul tells us in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God help us. Let's kneel for prayer.